Washington State Funeral Cemetery Board. The time is now 10 a.m. on Wednesday, August 21st, 2024, and I'm calling the special board meeting to order. We'll be providing an opportunity for public comment later in this meeting. As a courtesy, we encourage everyone to mute their mics or your phone if you called in and you're not speaking, to reduce the background noise when others are speaking. Also, for board members to help us capture information correctly, please state your name when making comments. Thank you. All right. Agenda item number two, roll call. Sydney, would you please call and roll? Board members, please respond if you are in attendance.
Chair Ittner?
Present.
Vice Chair Gutierrez Zamora? Andre, can you hear me?
This mic is muted.
All right. Present. Sorry.
Thank you. Board Member Cameron.
Present.
Board Member Little.
Present.
And Board Member Ward. Looks like Board Member Ward may be running late, but we have our quorum.
All right. Thank you. Agenda item number three, approval of the agenda. Need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Pete. All right. Just 1 second. All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, motion passes. All right, agenda item number four, approval of minutes. Is there a motion to that effect?
This is Rick. I so moved.
Thank you, Rick. Do I have a second?
This is Pete. I'll second.
Thank you, Pete. Any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Thank you. Okay. Agenda item number five is old business, International Conference of Funeral Service Examining Board's report. Case update.
Oh, I apologize. That was a typo.
Oh, which part?
Just the case update.
Oh, okay. So are we, which part, where are we at then? Are we?
So we're at 5.1, the case update. I apologize. We don't have from ICFS EB.
Oh, I see what's going on. Okay, got it. Makes sense. All right. Looks like Pam will lead the discussion of the case update.
Hi, everybody. Let me get to it. So I provided for you an update on an agreed order that the board had from 2020 regarding Catherine and Tony Tate's businesses, Columbia Memorial Gardens Cemetery and Columbia Memorial Chapel in Pasco. And I just kind of wanted the board to see what the outcome of that whole situation was, because it's actually having a positive impact on the community. And just want you to hear a happy ending for once. So back in 2021, I did an audit of the cemetery's trust funds. The funeral trust funds were held by a trust company, a third-party trust company. So that one, those funds were not as in danger of misuse compared to the cemetery trust funds. And I did find that at the time that the new owners purchased both businesses, that the cemetery prearrangement trust fund was practically at zero. You can see the figures on my report. And so in 2021, I determined an estimated liability to the prearrangement trust fund of over $150,000. The new owners had to reconcile by following through to see what items had been purchased and delivered or purchased and stored, what cemetery prearranged items were actually stored and the condition that they were stored in. And the new owners actually found a liability to the cemetery prearrangement trust of over $200,000. So also at the time of the acquisition of this cemetery, there were several markers that had been paid for by consumers but were not provided by the former owners. And the new owners immediately stepped in and started one by one handling all those markers. And actually, when Riley, Milo, and I went and did our examination in 2024, they had provided over $202,000 worth of merchandise and services to families without getting any payment for those items because they were all outstanding issues that the previous owner had left for them to take care of. So now that they are past this point, they are starting to build that cemetery prearrangement trust fund. The payments that they were making to the former owners are now being diverted to the cemetery prearrangement trust fund because they were able to legally demonstrate that they don't owe the former owners anymore based on what they've already had to pay out to take care of the shortfalls. So they're depositing $3,000 a month starting back in May of this year. And they also are not taking withdrawals for pre-acquisition contracts since the money wasn't there to start with. So that will also reduce the cemetery prearrangement trust liability. So they also remodeled the funeral home. It was in bad disrepair. And they've like completely, it's like a brand new funeral home now. It's beautiful. Riley and I both were really impressed with it, with what they've done. And so I just wanted you to hear that, you know, with the right successor owners, even something as dire as the situation with the Tates can be turned around and become an asset to the community.
Well, thank you, Pam. That indeed is a piece of good news, and very thankful for those new owners and the work that they've done to salvage that organization for sure. Thank you for a great report.
Thank you.
Any questions or discussion on that from any board members at all?
All right. No, this is Pete, but I'd agree that that's a great turnaround, and kudos to them for stepping up and protecting families, and that's just great to hear.
Absolutely. All right, we'll move on to item number six, new business, 6.1 death rate surge discussion. Sydney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an item that came out of public comments at the last board meeting. We received comments from the People's Memorial Group regarding the anticipated surge in death rate and wanting to know what the board was doing to address that anticipated issue that we'll be facing this industry. So, because the board couldn't respond to the public comments at that time, they requested that this item be brought back so that it could be addressed. So just wanting to give a little bit of lead into that. This is tying into the work that is being done by the Licensing Future Task Force and something that is being addressed, but as is the case with almost any industry, it's just not a quick turnaround for any changes that we can make. And it'll take time once those changes are made for there to be an impact. So I know that that's an issue that is facing this industry. The board is well aware of it. They are working to address that. It's just, it's not something that the public will necessarily see a really quick impact on. And so wanted to open it up for the rest of the board to make comments, since this was an item that you guys had requested be added to the agenda.
Yeah, thank you, Sydney. I would just say to your point, we've had lengthy discussions at the committee level on the pending potential increase in death rate over the next 5, 10, 20 years, and also how that plays into the licensing and issues that we face in terms of finding funeral directors and new funeral directors in the industry, and so we're looking at all different options to address alternative pathways to licensure and other things that would bring more good people into the industry. So I think the board is looking at that and takes it very seriously, as most of us are owner operators of some sort and are experiencing some of the pressures from that. So Pete, I don't know if you're on the committee. I'm not sure if you have any commentary on that piece.
Yeah, just to reiterate that, we are looking at a number of different options to help ease things at the state level. A lot of this is going to be market driven in different areas of the state. So whatever we can do at the state level to help free up that process and make things not necessarily simpler, but to allow for that expansion to happen. We are going to be in a world of hurt in a few years down the road here. And committee's working on it, and there's a lot of good things happening.
And Mr. Chair, we do have a member of the public who's raised their hand to speak, but it's up to the board if you guys want to allow that on this item, as it is outside of the public comment period.
I'm all right with that. No time.
Hi, this is Casey Hussman, Executive Director of People's Memorial Association. I was the one who put this question to the board last session. I've heard Itner and Cameron both say that they're looking at a number of different options. Can you please name what a couple of those different options are that this board is exploring? Thank you.
And do you want me to take that, or would you like to?
It's up to you. I can take it if you'd like.
Go for it.
So the committee has looked at a couple of different options that would involve rule changes. Rule changes, hopefully, there's a couple of places where it may require legislative action, but we're looking at rule changes because those are things that the board can make a little bit more easily, a little more quickly, without needing to go to the legislature for large changes that may or may not make it through. So a couple of those are just allowing for consideration of alternative pathways, opening up a little bit more of the education to see if there are other areas of education that we can start pulling people in from and attracting them into the industry, including some different backgrounds. They've also looked at allowing for different levels of intern license to kind of fill in some gaps that they're seeing in the industry. I think the recommendation that is going to be coming out of that committee, they haven't finalized that yet, but what we've reported to the board so far out of that committee is to look at reducing the 5-year time cap on internships, allowing people who begin their internship but need a little additional time to complete it, allowing them that opportunity to stay in the industry and continue to work as an intern and keep fulfilling that time commitment. That's an area that we're seeing a lot of requests come out of, that especially through the pandemic, a lot of people's education and internships were kind of placed on hold, or they weren't getting as many opportunities to do what they needed to fulfill those requirements. And The board had a number of requests come in to extend internships post-COVID. So we really believe that that's an area that will help bridge that gap a little bit, give interns a little bit more breathing room to get their licensure, to get their full funeral director embalmer licensure, and hopefully be able to start bridging that gap with a little bit more immediate effect. And then looking to do some outreach again with some of those alternative education pathways to see who we can pull into the industry from that route. A lot of people have exposure to the industry, but maybe aren't directly connected educationally. People in like emergency services who work a lot of different shifts, but have the background and the knowledge to be able to work in the industry. And so seeing how we can start to pull them in, get them their education requirements so that they can meet the licensure requirements and kind of go that route. So looking at a lot of different alternatives, but I think the immediate one is going to be looking at removing that time cap on interns.
Thank you, Sydney. Yeah, at the end of the day, it's about reducing or modifying the barriers to entry into the profession, being a funeral director without, obviously diluting the importance of the work that we do. So it's creating different pathways to get there and become licensed, whether that's through, looking at, like as Sydney pointed out, the educational requirements that are currently in place. I know that before the 5-year time cap that was put in place, there were many, many good people that were working as intern funeral directors that once the 5-year cap was installed, had to leave the business because they simply, couldn't or didn't want to go back to school to earn their, whether it's a 2-year degree or complete all the educational requirements. So similar to, Sydney's pointed out some different options for, the example would be the architectural licensure process where they created more, I guess, again, the phrase is alternative pathways to licensure, but through almost what the equivalent of on-the-job training would be. So anyway, some of it is rulemaking, and of course, some of it reaches into the legislative process, which is a little more complex.
I see Mr. Hussman has his hand raised again.
Just one last comment, just in the interest of time.
Thank you. Having worked with a number of funeral directors, it was my understanding that the reason the 5-year limit to funeral director internship was put into place was that it was common practice for funeral homes to keep a working funeral director as at the intern level in order to not pay them more when they then had progressed licensed funeral director status. Can I get any comment on how this is going to incentivize more workers if the result may be that people are staying on longer but at the lower pay level?
So that is something that committee is still working to address to ensure that there is equity in the practice. But what we're finding right now is that 5-year cap on the internship is really a barrier to interns being able to complete their internship requirement and get full licensure. So the committee is still reviewing that and will definitely be bringing forward a recommendation on how to properly address that, but we also want to make sure that we're meeting the needs of those interns as well. And so it's about finding that balance.
Thanks, Sydney. I appreciate the comments as well. All right, moving on to agenda item 6.2, disposition facility equipment discussion. Sydney.
This is another one that came out of public comments again from the People's Memorial Association. Regarding disposition facility equipment, specifically for crematories, and noting that there are some technological advancements in facility equipment, but that a lot of facilities may be hesitant to replace that, particularly regarding environmental concerns and regulations that have been placed on them. This is one that I personally don't have a lot of background in, but the board had again requested a lot an item to address this, so wanted to open it up for board comment to respond to that.
I think maybe the appropriate process here would be to form kind of an ad hoc committee just to discuss it and just, you know, dive into the concern itself, but also just some of the barriers that, you know, I guess facilities are facing. I'm not sure that this is, you know, technically within the board's jurisdiction in terms of things that, you know, we could impact, but I think that would be part of that discussion.
Yeah, I think it kind of borders on falling outside of the board's jurisdiction, but I think an ad hoc committee just to take a look at it and see if there is anything, because there may be some impacts that Pam or Riley might be seeing through some of their work or maybe hearing comments on. So I think it's good for the board to at least get an understanding of what's going on with that and if there are any regulations that are causing barriers for our licensees, and just kind of get a handle on it. So I think an ad hoc committee is appropriate if a couple members wanted to volunteer for that.
That'd be great. I'd be willing to serve on that committee.
I could speak to that committee as well, having had to move a crematory here and dealing with some of the issues. None of them really were specifically board issues. We had other issues with other agencies through the state, but it is very correct that it's not easy to even move a machine, much less get a new machine going.
Yeah, this is Pete. I could go ahead and speak to that on that committee too, with our group installing alkaline hydrolysis and the trials and tribulations that we went through with that.
Okay. Well, that is our three members for the committee, so we'll look at putting together a committee meeting in this next quarter and look to report back at the next meeting.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Agenda item 6.3, request from IOOF Cemetery and High Valley Cemetery. Pam.
Give her just a moment. She's in the building and they may be having some technical difficulties with the conference room.
All right.
No more operator difficulties than technical difficulties. So the IOOF and High Valley Cemeteries in Ellensburg have been depositing 100% of their cemetery prearrangement merchandise and services into their trust fund. And at the time of a maturity or cancellation of those contracts, they are only withdrawing the amount that was deposited, which has resulted in a kind of a additional amount of money in those funds. And given that now that they are serving some of those prearrangement contracts, they wanted to be able to take the at-need price from the trust. And I told them they couldn't do that. They had to deposit what they deposited or withdraw what they deposited plus any earnings. And they didn't think they were able to calculate the allocation of earnings. And so they've come up with an alternate plan to separate the 50% that is above the minimum liability from the prearrangement. And then they also want to take a portion of the accumulated earnings as well, separate those into an account that then they can supplement their withdrawals when they do have a contract that matures. And I have committed to meet with them when they have a outcome from this request to make sure that accounts are properly identified, because once those funds are reduced down to the 50% plus accumulated earnings for that 50%, then they will need to make sure that funds are properly identified so that there will be no misuse of actual cemetery prearrangement trust funds. So, but since this is not a method of withdrawal permitted in the regulations, I suggested that they request from the board, make the request so that they can move forward without. But I don't want Pam saying that they can do this. I want that to be from the board. So that is their request. And their proposal is a little convoluted, but just be assured that I will be working with them to make sure that everything they're doing is in compliance with the regulations.
All right. Thank you, Pam. Just a question. I know that this issue has come up in the past, and the board has granted an exception to the process of distribution. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. We've had
the same process, but
yes.
Okay. Do any board members have comments or questions with regards to this request?
This is Pete. I was trying to read through, Pam, what you had put together with the numbers in that. And you're right. It is a little bit convoluted. Is this reasonable for the board to ask you to help kind of monitor this going forward? And would this have the potential to have some shortcomings in the future?
Well, with the current trustees for the cemeteries, it's the same board of trustees for both cemeteries. Obviously, you know, they have a very conservative plan to maintain that top 50%, if you will, that they wish to separate from the prearrangement trust fund. Of course, there is the concern that I have, which is why I want the funds to be properly identified. And I want to make sure that they understand they cannot make withdrawals of the earnings from the prearrangement fund like they do for the endowment care fund. Making sure that they have a good understanding of what the requirements are. And so, you know, we can't speak to people's mindsets in the future, but certainly I can help them put the guardrails up for proper identification and processes, get them. And of course, they will be still subject to the routine audits every third year, but we could certainly audit more frequently because the board does have that authority to audit when requested for reasons.
So. And do you know what I see? I'm just again looking through this again with regards to the, I guess they're labeling it as an excess to cover inflation. Do we know what rate of, I guess, growth or return that is equivalent to? My only concern really here is that, I mean, leaving the principal amount that was deposited plus an appropriate amount of growth in the fund. I don't know exactly how they calculated those numbers or what the percentages are, but that's really my main concern.
Yeah, and I've had numerous conversations with them to try to sift this down to something that is not as convoluted, and this is the best we can come up with at the moment. I think when I meet with them in person and, you know, go over everything with them, I will be holding firm that, you know, they can't take it all the way down to just the 50% liability. They have to account for accumulated earnings or those that 50%. And so yeah, I try to get more specific information, and they just keep telling me that, you know, they're way overfunded. And I don't think that they're planning to just go spend all that money. I think they're planning to maintain it in a fund. At least that's what they've communicated to me, is that they just want a reserve fund so that at the time of need, they can withdraw from the pre-need, and then with their reserve account, an amount that's equal to what the current retail cemetery fees are.
Okay. Well, without being able to really see what that growth rate calculation is, it does, you know, at first glance, it does appear that they are being conservative with the dollar amounts. So I guess we would be looking for a motion to approve this proposal.
This is Pete. I move that we accept this as presented.
All right. Is there a second?
This is Rick. I'll second it.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Any discussion? Any further discussion on this topic? All right. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. The motion passes. Thank you, Pam, for a great breakdown of that situation. It's doesn't appear to be an easy one. So. Okay, moving on to agenda item number 7, complaint cases for review. So we will begin with item 7.1, Mr. Little.
Okay. This is case number 2024-04-07190FDE. The complainant alleged unlicensed practice by a removal service with an expired funeral establishment license. The facts are the removal service in the complainant applied for a business license in September of 2022. 4 months later, the license was up for renewal at the end of January 2023. It was over a year later that this was brought up through the complaint. Once the establishment was told through the investigation that their license was delinquent, the establishment paid the renewal immediately. They are now current with their license. This was another removal service that was complaining against the removal service. I think that with the changeover and all the dates that the renewals are due, this is the first time that this has ever happened with them. I just would see that this be closed with no further action.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Little. Do we have a motion to that effect?
This is Dante. I'll go ahead and move.
Thank you, Dante. Do you have a second?
This is Pete, and I'll second.
Thank you, Pete. Any further discussion? All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. All right. Moving on to item 7.2, Dante.
Sure.
This is a revisit of case number 2023-05-09-05-00-CEM. Summary, a complaint was opened on May 17, 2023. The complainant seeks assurance that the respondent cemetery will not sell further rights of interment in the grave that he has inherited. Facts, the complainant first contacted the board March 2023 by phone, stating his concern that the respondent would sell additional rights of interment in his grave after his death. The complainant got the idea that this could or would happen on July 31st, 2015, when he received an email from a representative of the respondent cemetery stating that his grave could accommodate up to 16 interment rights. The complainant has transferred ownership of one grave, the one grave he owns, with the right of two interments into a trust to prevent the respondent from being able to, in his words, perpetually dig up my grave. The respondent has maintained copies of the complainant's correspondence, which emphatically state that no further interments happen in his grave. The respondent stated that they would follow the law about ownership and will comply with the complainant's wishes as directed through his trust. While the complainant acknowledges through his correspondence dated April 11, 2023, that the respondent cannot unilaterally sell additional burial rights, his repeated correspondence to the state board and his insistence on further assurance belie that point. Despite the complainant's overestimation of the value of subsequent burial rights, the respondent has little or to no incentive to sell or resell interment rights this way because of numerous and legal and public relations issues that would cause. Other than documenting the complainant's wishes, as they have, and following the instructions of his heirs, as they will, the respondent cannot do more to assure the complainant. So I move that case be closed with no further action.
All right. Thank you, Dante. All right. Do we have a motion to that effect?
This is Pete. So move.
Thank you, Pete. For a second.
This is Rick. I'll second it.
All right. Any further discussion? Right, hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, motion passes. Moving on to item 7.3, Dante again.
Sure. Case number 2024-05-1172-00-FDE. Summary. On this one, the complainant's son and daughter to their deceased mother filed a complaint alleging the respondent funeral home did not return their mother's cremated remains in a timely manner. That was supposed to be, nor did the respondent funeral home communicate in a satisfactory manner. Facts on this one, the death occurred April 25th, 2024. The arrangement conference took place on April 26th, 2024. Transfer from Valley Medical Center took place on April 27th. 2024 to a regional mortuary service. Death certificate was filed and complete, and a burial transit permit was available on April 29, 2024, and cremation took place on May 11, 2024. Cremated remains were returned to the complainant, and the complaint was filed. Both of those things happened on May 17, 2024. From arrangement to return, the process took 21 days. The complainants state that they contacted the respondent many times and never received satisfactory answer to when she would be cremated. The respondent provided the investigator a copy of the cremation authorization and other related documents. None stipulate the timeline for the cremation, when the cremation would take place. Also, the complainants allude to an issue with parts for the retort delaying the cremation. While 3 weeks is not the most timely of service overall, 12 days from the permit being issued to a cremation taking place is in well within the norm for mortuary service that completed the cremation. So again, I'm going to recommend that this one be closed with no further action.
All right. Thank you, Dante. Do we have a motion?
This is Rick. Also move.
All right. Thank you. Is there a second?
This is Pete. I'll second.
Thank you, Pete. Any discussion? All right. Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. All right. Agenda item 7.4. Dante.
Sure. This one's 2024-06, 1511-00-FDE. On this one, the summary, the complainant has issue with the respondent advertising their business as nonprofit, in their words, on their website, their Facebook page, as well as in a commercial. The complainant cites RCW 4836A.120 that prohibits a fraternal benefit society from operating a funeral home or undertaking establishment. And the fact is the respondent is not a fraternal benefit society. So I recommend that we close with no further action.
All right. Thank you, Dante. We have a motion.
This is Pete, and so move.
Thank you, Pete. Is there a second?
This is Rick. I'll second it.
Thank you. Any discussion?
This is Pete. Just a quick question. Has the complainant been informed that this group is not a fraternal benefit society? Has that been cleared up?
Yes. Yeah. Basically, it's somebody that competes in the same market and doesn't like the advantage that the respondent gets from advertising as a nonprofit. The respondent is a nonprofit and it's not a fraternal benefit society.
Got it. Okay. Thanks.
Somebody read a law and thought they had a way to get them to advertise a different way.
Right.
All right. Any further questions? All right. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Thank you so much, everyone. Looking to agenda item number 8, legal issues for deliberation. Agenda item 8.1, AG, yeah.
Good morning, everyone. As indicated, we have a number of matters here for presentation to the board, and I will just take them in the order that they appeared in the agenda. So starting with the first matter, this is matter 2023-12-2842-00FDE. And this is a findings of fact, conclusions of law, and default order being presented to the board today. This regards a letter of intent to deny that was issued after an individual submitted an application for an embalmer license. That individual currently has a revoked funeral director license for a period of 10 years. And as such, a letter of statement of intent to deny was sent out to deny the embalmer license on that basis as well. They did not respond to that letter during the time period or at all to my knowledge. And therefore, this default order is being presented to the board with the recommended denial of a period of 10 years from the effective date of the final order that revoked their funeral director license. And Chair Itner, I believe you're on mute if you are speaking.
That always happens once during the meeting. Yeah, thank you for that description. Assuming everybody's had a chance to read through the default order, I'd be looking for a motion for approval.
This is Dante. I'll go ahead and move.
This is Rick. I'll go ahead and second.
All right. Thank you. Any discussion on this matter?
Mr. Chair, this is Pete. I'm the case manager for this one, so I'm going to be abstaining from the vote.
Thank you, Pete. All right. Any comments, questions, discussion? All right. Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 All right. Any opposed? Any abstentions other than Pete? All right. Hearing none, motion passes. All right, moving on to the next issue.
Thank you. And the next matter is matter 2023-02-0215-00FDE. This involves a matter of a license to practice as an embalmer. The licensee was alleged to have taken photos of decedents without proper authorization to have done so. The licensee was served with a statement of charges against them and did file an answer in which they declined to participate in the proceedings and admitted to the allegations. The recommendation here is for a one-year suspension of the licensee's license. So that is what is before the board today in the form of a default order due to the licensee's indication that they will not be participating in the proceedings.
All right, thank you. So again, I'll need a motion for approval of this default order.
So this is Rick Little, so moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
This is Pete, I'll second.
Thank you, Pete. Is there any discussion relative to this?
Just a question. This is Pete. Had this person had any prior violations or incidents or?
None that I'm aware of from working on the case. None were brought to my attention.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions or comments? All right. Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Motion passes. Thank you. All right. Item 8.3, Mr. Kiosk.
All right. And the final matter here, it involves a single stipulated finding of fact, conclusions of law, and proposed agreed order. The original, this matter does involve two underlying complaints and investigations that were tied together into one statement of charges. This is for matters 2023-01-0099-00FDE. And 2021-11-2856-00FDE, both involving license to practice as a funeral establishment. I can quickly summarize each of the two matters and how we arrived at this stipulation and proposed agreed order before the board. The first involves a allegation that the funeral establishment had overcharged the family of a had overcharged the victim's compensation, a crime victim's compensation program. There was an investigation into this. It was confirmed that that had occurred, And in the course of this investigation and discussions, the owner of the funeral establishment did provide proof that they had reimbursed the Crime Victims Compensation Program for the overcharge and indicated they had also terminated the individual responsible for that overcharge. They also have indicated a willingness to cooperate with any investigation into that specific individual that was responsible for this. And so that is the first matter involved here. The second matter involves some allegations, started with a complaint mainly regarding violations of standards for the establishment, focusing a lot on cleanliness and related issues. And investigation was performed of all of the establishment's locations, at which time a number of violations were found on a variety of things, many of them having to do with cleanliness and how the facility was being managed, as well as a funeral director intern who was improperly being listed as a funeral director prior to when they had obtained that title. The establishment did work with, well, they have, as my understanding, able to address all of the issues raised here. Follow-up investigation was performed as part of settlement discussions here, in which the board's investigator did find that all prior issues had been addressed and remedied by the establishment. And so in light of the actions taken by the establishment, the recommendation that's being put forward today is for a 2-year stayed suspension of their license. During that time, they would be responsible for ensuring no further violations and are also consenting to 2 additional inspections of their facilities to ensure that they are maintaining compliance with all applicable rules and statutes. And so that is what is before the board today.
All right, thank you for that description. I would be looking for a motion for approval, this agreed order.
This is Pete. I so move.
Thank you, Pete. Is there a second?
This is Rick. I'll go ahead and second.
Thank you, Rick. All right. This question, discussion, questions?
This is Dante, just like Pete, case manager on this one, so I'll go ahead and abstain.
Thank you, Dante. Any comments or questions relative to this case? Looking at the list of, I guess, infractions, if you will, observations, I guess is the way it's listed in here. There's quite the list of issues, I'll say. So my only question would be, we arrived at a stayed suspension. It looks like there's some additional inspections that would be required. But beyond that, other than if they commit an additional violation, there's really there's nothing else in there. So how can you just maybe speak to the decision on the stayed suspension of the license?
Sure, I can certainly speak to that. I think this was arrived at really primarily based on the establishment's willingness to address all of the issues. It was specifically and very much brought to their attention that there were a number of issues here, as you noted. And they asked for the chance to show that they were working hard to do better and ensure that this didn't happen again. Thus, that was the reason for the follow-up inspection in which it was made abundantly clear to them that, you know, if any further issues would find, not only would that impede any kind of settlement, but also they could be on the hook for further violations. Instead, they came back with a very clean bill of health. And also, my understanding is the investigator had a chance to speak to their employees, many of whom were new. They were also working to really update their staff and address these issues, and received very positive feedback from the staff who were working there regarding the establishment. I think in light, the recommendation being put forward was in recognition of the work that they had put in to address the issues that were raised.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. Any further discussion or questions from the board? All right, hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
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 Abstain.
Any opposed? And we have Dante with the abstention. All right, motion passes. Okay, thank you very much. It looks like we're moving on to agenda item 9, committee reports. Sydney.
Hey, thank you very much. We'll start with the Licensing Future Task Force report. A lot of this was already covered earlier in the meeting. Unfortunately, I do not have a new report for the board. This one was entirely on staff. As the board is aware, we are a little bit short-staffed with the departure of Susan Nieves. And unfortunately, we just were not able to schedule an additional meeting for the task force this quarter. So we do anticipate having a new staff member on board with us middle of September, and we'll start to be able to take on more of those meetings shortly thereafter. So I apologize that we do not have an additional report, but we will bring one back at the next quarter. And then on the Pet Cemetery Review Committee, some draft legislation has been completed by staff and was reviewed by that committee and is now making its rounds through all the proper channels to see what will come of that. But other than that, we're at a little bit of a standstill with that committee, just kind of waiting to see what comments we get back on any proposed legislation if it were to go anywhere for this quarter. So we will keep the board posted on that. So are there any questions on either of those?
All right. No questions from me. Thank you, Sydney, for those reports. We can move on to item 9.2, staff reports.
All right, and I will be starting us off. I'll be covering the Centralized Investigations and Audit Unit report. As the board is always aware, always a pretty significant number of cases, but total that we have received in 2024 as of the end of July is 26. So we currently have one that is in complaint intake, so it's not started the investigation yet, 9 that are currently in investigation, 7 that are in legal review, 27 that are in a case manager review. However, a number of those are all tied to a similar complaint. So that number is a little inflated at the moment. And then 12 that have been closed for a grand total, or excuse me, 15 that have been closed for a grand total of 114. Are there any questions on the complaint status report?
I'm just curious how this in previous years, how the total of complaints, is this an average amount? And just,
I would say for this industry, this is a pretty average amount. So we've had a slight uptick. Again, right now, those numbers are a little bit inflated because we do have a number that are all tied to one single respondent. And that case will eventually be making it before the board. But even outside of that, I would say this is fairly normal. Among our 5 regulatory boards, this board does receive a disproportionately high number of complaint cases. So might be slightly up this year, but I don't think it's anything to be too concerned about. But we can certainly put together a report showing what the last 5 years or so has been, so the board can see that for the next meeting.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right. And then I will hand it off to Tanya Hessler, our program manager for the licensing and customer service support team, to review the licensee count report.
Good morning. I'm Tanya Hessler. I'm the program manager, and funeral cemeteries is one of the programs under me. Here are the licensee counts across all of our license types. We currently have 504 currently licensed cemeteries and 1,656 funerals, and for a total of 2,160. Cindy, can you scroll to the next one? I think it breaks it down a little better.
That one?
Yes, thank you. So across, here's our new license types for 2024, excuse me. So across all of our licensing types, here are the new licensees that we've licensed to date, total of 176. And then for 2024, here's the total across all licensing types of all the renewals that we've processed up until to date. In 2024,
1,349.
Thank you.
All right. And so I guess before I move on, were there any questions for Tanya? All right. Well, then I will move on to our action item list. Still working on the licensing future task force, as we've already discussed. Pet Cemetery Review Committee is also off and rolling and just kind of waiting to hear back on that legislation. We are still working to bring back some additional examples and data on the proposed move to the 06L program fund designation, but that agency request legislation is moving forward, so we'll keep the board posted and hopefully bring back a more in-depth report for November. We did provide all of the additional data for the licensee count, and if the board would like, we can do kind of a full year wrap-up at the next meeting. And then Pam is working to follow up on...
I did that.
Okay.
I did
that. Oh, you did? Okay. So then that one is completed.
All right. Thank you, Sydney. Thanks, everyone, for their reports. That brings us to agenda item 10, public comments. The public may address the board on matters within the board's jurisdiction, either verbally during the meeting or by submitting written comments in advance. Verbal comments are limited to 1 3-minute comment. Written comments are limited to no more than 500 words and must be emailed to board staff no less than 2 business days prior to the meeting. In response to all public comments, the board is limited to requesting that the matter be added to a future agenda for discussion or directing staff to study the matter further. Inflammatory comments and language will not be permitted.
And Mr. Chair, we have not had any written comments for this meeting.
Okay. Are any members of the public that would like to make comment this time? Hearing none? All right, moving on to agenda item 11, conclusion. 11.1, announcements. Do any board members have any announcements or additional reports that they would like to make at this time? Right, quiet group today. Item 11.2, request for future agenda items. Are there any additional future agenda items that have not been discussed that any board members would like to request for the next meeting?
Yeah, this is Pete. Can we get maybe an update on where we're at with board member status? with positions being replaced?
I can certainly add that to the agenda for the next meeting. We do have two vacancies on the board at the moment, and have already had a number of conversations with applicants. Those notes have been forwarded back to the governor's office, and then we've also been provided some additional applications within the last couple of weeks, and we'll be looking to have those conversations in September. So hopefully by the next meeting, the governor's office will have at least made a couple of appointments, and we'll have new board members to introduce at that point, but we can certainly provide a status report regardless at that next meeting.
All right, thanks, Edney.
Great question, Pete. Thank you. All right, any other agenda items to add? Okay, moving on. Item 11.3, review of action items for next meeting.
So we have the ad hoc committee that has been set up to look at the disposition facility equipment, as well as an additional item to add a five-year comparison on the complaint status report for the next meeting. And then we'll bring back Mr. Cameron's request for an update on the board vacancies.
Perfect. All right. I think that brings us to our last agenda item, adjournment. The time is now 11:06 a.m., and this meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you all
for the great reports.
Thank you.